Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77. Verse 11 and 12. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doings.
Thank you, brother. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, after hearing this song and the words and so much energy and emotion put into the song, I thank you, Lord, for voices which can sing and ears that can hear. Thank you, Lord, for eyes that can see, for all the senses that you gave us that help us to have a more quality life. And yet, Lord, we know these senses have been damaged because of sin. But Lord, we thank you for the sense of your presence, a sense that you gave us through motherhood. Be with us now in a special way. Open our minds. Help us to see your design, your ideal. In Jesus' name, amen. To all our mothers, I too wish you the very best of Mother's Days as it quickly approaches. And yet, many mothers feel as if every day is Mother's Day. For their joy is not found in a particular date, which comes but once a year. Rather, in knowing every day the special role God designed for them to play in the lives of their children. And I know that surely this is true here as well. When I was growing up, I didn't have a very good attitude about things. I was skeptical about everything, and I couldn't see the silver lining. I remember thinking about Mother's Day as simply a date when it was decided mothers should be recognized on a national scale. In fact, I used to think mothers were given their own day simply because it occurred to many in business that everyone had a mother, and therefore much money could be made were it to become a special day of remembrance. For Mother's Day was a day when one felt the need to at least buy a card, or perhaps candy and flowers for mom. One felt the need to finally make that long distance phone call just to say hello. And if one had a really hard to please mother, taking her out for a meal to her favorite restaurant was the least she would expect. And yet, even as a child, I was sure some children wanted to show their mothers the appreciation for the years of hard work and sacrifice, for years of being a listening ear, for being a wise counselor, a close companion, an ever faithful friend. And yet these children probably didn't need a certain day to arrive to show their gratitude to mom. Perhaps for mom, the gratitude was witnessed by the very way her our children live their lives. Over the years, God has helped me to see so much more in this wonderful idea called motherhood. Of course, many people view motherhood as a simple fact of nature, an unexplained, mysterious development which was meant to keep the species alive. And yet, were it not for the wisdom of God, none of us would have had mothers. For surely our God created motherhood. He designed us humans in such a way that each of us, after the fall of man, would have the benefit of a mother. In Romans 1, verse 20, we often read the words, Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Perhaps when Paul wrote these words, motherhood may very well have been one of the first things created of God, which impressed his thinking. After all, how could anyone question the wisdom of God, the love of God, when faced with the existence of motherhood and all that it represented? I don't know how many different ways God could have increased the human race from its meager beginnings. What I do know is the way he chose to accomplish it. And I have to believe that even in our design, God was working toward our restoration before the need was even there, showing in a very real way his foreknowledge, his love, his compassion, his desire to bring healing to our lives, giving us each such a human relationship at the very beginning, one which could in many ways reflect the truest picture of our Creator, at least the truest picture until the coming of Jesus, surely reflects God's desire for our healing. By giving us all mothers, God could, from our very beginning, reveal something wonderful about himself, something which points to the very truth about the kind of being he is. He could touch our hearts, though separated by sin, through our mothers. Hopefully our scripture reading is an encouragement to think, to look back, to consider what God did in the very beginning, our beginning. I like the particular way the Living Bible has put these verses. For we read Psalm 77, 11 and 12, I recall the many miracles he did for me long ago. Those wonderful deeds are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them. Perhaps at this special time of year, when so many of us are thinking about our mothers, we will begin to see in a deeper way, being created in the way we were, as a wonderful deed, a miracle done for us so very long ago. Perhaps as we think about our own mothers, we will consider in a deeper way God's desire to bring us back to Himself, and that this work was meant to begin before we were even born. As the psalmist wrote so very long ago, Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14. Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me. We've heard a lot today, the word cover. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I used to think David was strictly speaking of the way God formed us, but perhaps he was speaking just as much of mothers and how he formed us inside a mother, giving us a place of protection, a place of warmth, a place of rest. God knows the end from the beginning. He knew how Satan would lead the human race into sin. He knew how the deceiver would misrepresent his very character. And so from our very beginning, before we were even born, God provided a human relationship designed to help reveal the truth about Himself. And we call this relationship motherhood. Just think about the wisdom designed in such a telling bond. We each started life totally surrounded by our mothers, protected on every side. Never a moment going by when Mom was not with us. As helpless as we were, we had someone in whom we could be totally dependent upon for everything. And we had moms keenly aware of our presence long before we became aware of theirs. And through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 13, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. We read these words. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And as we were born, the bond only grew. As warmth and nurture took place, and complete trust and dependence increased, as love and affection were given, a message of value and worth was communicated to our small minds. As this relationship continued to grow, the truth was being revealed. God has shown us through motherhood a picture of the kind of relationship He longs to have with His children. While Satan paints God as an arbitrary ruler who demands obedience, God gave His mothers a relationship built on love and trust and admiration, a relationship of dependence grown in the atmosphere of acceptance and love. Clearly, God has shown us his ideal, his ultimate desire. For although mothers may represent authority to a child's mind, before this was even thought of or realized, they had already experienced a bond with a loving provider, a faithful friend, and an inspiration on how to live. When a child grows up in harmony with a lawgiver, with an authority figure, the law as well as the giver never need appear to the child's mind to be cruel, unreasonable, arbitrary, or demanding. We read of these same things in Scripture. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And so God first loved us through our mothers. Before we were even born, he was communicating this message to his children. In Romans 2:4, we read these words. This is from the New Living Translation, Romans 2:4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? And so through mothers, a patient, winsome God is reflected toward his children, and a message of wanting only what's best, a message intended to win one to the truth rather than force mere compliance. And so Jesus says, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Of course, Satan would have us believe Jesus meant, you must keep my commands to prove you love me. But this too, through mothers, the message is given, if you love me, if you love the same things I value, then you will also reflect me and my desires. Perhaps if more humans understood what motherhood was really intended to represent in God's design, there would be fewer mothers being made. Certainly, God's gift to us each in giving us mothers has proven for many to be one of the greatest blessings of God in their lives. This redeeming work on the part of God has produced many who came to a saving knowledge of their Maker because of having had a godly mother. A godly mother to start life with. And yet, how many mothers would dare say they've done a perfect job? A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those who had been his teachers. Churchill returned the list with this comment, "You have failed to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother." I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. if it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Thomas Edison. When all is said, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright her boys and girls, who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she only would realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. Theodore Roosevelt. The mother of Christian Schwartz died as he was born. But before her death, she exacted this promise from her husband. When my baby becomes a man and God calls him to be a missionary, promise me that you will not stand in his way. In those days, foreign missionary enterprise was almost unknown. Years passed. One day, a brilliant young man came home from the university and said to his father, "God has called me to be a missionary." Tears filled the father's eyes as he recalled the promise he gave to his dying wife. "Answer the call, my son, and may God's blessings be continually upon you." And so Christian Schwartz went to India, a pioneer missionary, fulfilling a dying mother's dreams. Leland Wang, the Chinese evangelist, told of an incident of his childhood which vividly illustrates the substitutionary work of Christ. On one occasion, he had been very naughty, and his mother, with a stick in her hand, called him to be punished. But he ran off, taunting her because she could not catch him. Now, what would you have done in that situation? She had little chance. She had little chance of catching her small, lively son. So she stood still and said, "I feel ashamed of myself that I have brought up a boy who was not willing to be disciplined by his mother when he does wrong. So I must punish myself." And she began to whip her bare arm. And this so touched Leland's heart that he ran back to his mother, threw himself into her arms, and pleaded with her not to hurt herself any longer, but to punish him. but no further punishment was necessary. Mr. Wang says that as he grew older, the memory of this incident helped him to understand the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly took our place on the cross. He was only 3 years old when his father died, so that he said, "I grew up under the care of my blessed mother. She developed my early talent for drawing and encouraged me in my visits to the machine shops of the town." Robert was a poor student at school. However, the teacher complained to his mother, whereupon Mrs. Fulton replied proudly, "My boy's head, sir, is so full of original notions that there is no vacant chamber in which to store the contents of your musty books." "I was only 10 years old at the time," said Fulton, "and my mother seemed to be the only human being who understood, except for God, my natural bent for mechanics." Waiting for God's leading, Bishop Simpson went once to a prayer meeting, thinking in his heart that he ought to speak. And to his surprise, his uncle said to him, "Don't you think you could speak to the people tonight?" Sounds a little bit like William Miller. That night he made his first Christian address. At once men saw his ability, and he was invited to preach, but still he declined. He was restrained partly by the consideration that he was the only one at home with his widowed mother, and he could not bear the thought of leaving her alone. But one day he ventured to introduce the subject to his mother. With a smile on her face and tears in her eyes, his mother said, "My son, I have been looking for this hour ever since you were born." Of 69 monarchs who ruled the French crown, who wore the French crown, a French writer states, only three loved the people. And all these three were reared by their mothers without the intervention of outsiders. The story is told by a visitor who was once staying with Mrs. Wesley when Charles was a little boy. Charles came in and asked his mother a question, which she patiently answered. In 5 minutes, he came back and asked the same question again, and he received the same patient response. This happened a number of times, to which the visitor could no longer take it and said to her, "Why do you waste your time answering this troublesome boy's questions 7 times now?" "Well," said Mrs. Wesley, "because 6 times wasn't enough." She had learned patience in the school of Christ. We need not wonder that the 19 children in the Wesley family were trained to cry softly. Once printed in a newspaper, What is the hardest thing to kill? This was the question. What about mother's love? And then it went on to tell the story. Perhaps you remember the Ways of Brooklyn. How Henry Way took his mother's $13,000 out of his safe deposit box and bet and lost it on Native Dancer in the Kentucky Derby. The 43-year-old son was indicted for grand larceny. When trial time neared, Mrs. Lillian Way, 71, and a widow, refused to prosecute. She said, "I haven't long to live. I hope God will forgive my sins, and I want to forgive my sons." And then Henry, 43, who had three children and one grandchild, wept and said, "I'll sign my house over. She can live with me for the rest of my life." Not her life, his life. "I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore." Mom, when you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I was inspired to paint another. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I became convinced it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake, and I knew little things made us feel special. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you pray, and I realized there is a God I could always talk to. When you thought I wasn't looking, I watched you kiss me goodnight, and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw your tears, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give to someone needy, and I discovered the joy in giving. When you thought I wasn't looking, I noticed you always did your best, and it made me want to be all that I could be. When you thought I wasn't listening, I heard you say thank you, and I wanted to thank you for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. Of course, Satan has been diligently working to make motherhood appear to be nothing more than a biological event. But we can thank God for motherhood and praise Him for all the mothers who have kept His ideal alive and how we have been touched because of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that in your great wisdom, you fashioned so many things to win us back to yourself. We thank you, Lord, for mothers, for motherhood, for an idea that teaches us about you. And yet, Lord, as much love as we've been shown by mothers, we know it can't compare to the love that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for mothers who have made us excited about the day when we can see you and be loved by you face to face. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.